Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step two. Please welcome our panel. We have Jill and Paul.
Hello.
We're doing it.
I will read the first paragraph on page 44, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Page 44. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Paul?
Hey, everybody. My name is Paul, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
hey guys. Man, when I crawled into AA, I was so beat down, dude. Like, so beat down. I had very little going on in my life, and the little things that I had going on, I was destroying and just taking a dump all over. You know, when I, the day that I came into AA, I went to the ball on the wall, and it was a suggestion from my mother, and I had woken up so hungover that morning, covered in throw up, almost run over by a truck. I went out on a Tuesday and woke up in the street on a Wednesday. And I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I think I'm an alcoholic. She's like, yes, I've known that for years. There's a meeting at 12 o'clock. It's called Ball on the Wall. Get over there. And I was like, okay. And I sat in that room. And I would love to tell you that I listened and things became very clear to me and I understood what the problem with alcoholism was and that I wanted to get right. I did not care at all. I don't even think it was because I was so hungover. I just didn't give a shit what you guys had to say because I thought I would just figure this problem out eventually. And AA would give me some knowledge to kind of move through the healing process with myself. And you know, it was just so short-sighted. And, you know, luckily I stayed around long enough and shook enough hands and talked with enough people after the meetings too. And my life got very, very, very uncomfortable. Not not drinking and not doing anything in AA, like that's an untenable situation. You're either going to get drunk, kill yourself, or get sober. So luckily I decided to give this thing a try. And I asked this guy to walk me through the steps, and he made this really, really simple for me. When we read this, he pointed out that word or, because I thought, I don't know what I thought an alcoholic was when I came in here, but it wasn't really me. It was probably my dad who couldn't stay sober a day in his whole life, or a bum under a bridge, or, you know, somebody that was just locked up in rehab for years and years. It wasn't me. Like, I had three jobs at the time. I was newly remarried to the woman that I had divorced, so I could drink like I wanted to drink. And, you know, I had it together. And he pointed out to me, he's like, hey, man, he's like, when you drink, what happens? I was like, well, I usually overshoot the mark, end up somewhere weird or pee somewhere even weirder. And he's like, okay, that's like generally what happens. I was like, yeah. I was like, I usually black out pretty hard. He's like, generally? And I was like, right. He's like, okay. Well, when you try to stop, can you stay stopped? And I was like, nope. Not really. Like, I never really tried to stop, but I spent a year and a half recently not drinking and not doing anything in AA, and I want to like rip my skin off and run away from life. And he's like, okay, that's fair. He's like, so, you know, it says in the book, if you can't quit entirely or when drinking you have little control, you may be. He's like, it doesn't say both. It sounds like you have both, so you're screwed. And I was like, oh, well, that's easy to swallow. Like, I can get with that. Like, he just made it really, really easy for me. The whole part about the spiritual piece of this step or of the program was just so completely lost on me. I just didn't want to hurt anymore, if I'm being really honest with you. I would have said yes to anything. And he said, can you be willing to believe that there's something bigger than yourself? And I was like, I guess. He's like, that's good enough. That's good enough for a start. And, you know, when we're talking about a spiritual basis of life, or not, or always not always an easy alternative to face, like, I just didn't even know what that meant. I just didn't want to hurt anymore, dude. And I'm going to stop talking after this, but like, I didn't give a crap. I just didn't want to hurt anymore. So I just said yes. I didn't know what I was agreeing to, but I'm glad I just said yes. So thanks for the mission.
Jill alcoholic.
Hey, Jill.
I knew I was an alcoholic. I didn't know all that what that entailed. I just knew that I could not control the amount I drank when I drank, and I drank every night. I was functioning. I had a job, I had a house, I had a car, I had some savings. So I wasn't totally beat down. My daughter came back to live with me from her father's, and I can't remember the situation, but I took her to therapy, and it was her that threw me under the bus about my drinking. I'm a pretty honest person, even with drinking, but when it comes to the amount I drink to authorities, one or two glasses, which really means one or two bottles. No, it always means two bottles. There was never just one. And I talked to the therapist and I asked him, you know, how can I help her? And he says, you can't help her until you help yourself. The tears came and I just conceded, because I had tried to stop drinking on my own, because I knew I could do this. But 6 weeks for no reason, nothing was going on, and I'd start drinking again. I remember one time, the obsession of the mind, which I now know is what it was, the thought was there. And I was like, well, you could just drink today and you can quit tomorrow. And I actually thought to myself, Jill, this is not Weight Watchers. You do not get a cheat day. And of course, I picked up knowing that I was going to quit the next day. That never happened. So fast forward, he sent me to an addiction therapist who gave me three choices, inpatient, outpatient, or you find people. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm an introvert that figures it out on her own. I don't want to sit around here with you people and talk about my feelings. So I pick outpatient, go to outpatient, listening to them. What do they do? They send me to you, fine people. They want us to go, I don't remember, it was so long ago, one or two meetings. And I am a rule follower. And I am good when I'm accountable to others. So I came. I remember the first meeting I went to was Talbot Park. In the beginning meeting, I thought, they're going to explain all how to do this. I went in there, I had no idea what they were talking about. Plus, it was so packed and full of fear. I made my daughter come with me. Everybody thought I was bringing her there when really it was me. Fast forward, I found a group that was a Tuesday night speaker meeting, which co-sponsored the hospital meeting, which is now called AA101, who were very kind to me, and I joined that group. And I also remember hearing, get a sponsor that has what you want. So I'm looking around. You know what? Now I realize I didn't know what I wanted. I know I wanted to quit drinking, but I didn't know what I wanted. So same fine man he's talking about, his first sponsor said, why don't you just pick her? So I did. She, I had some serious ideas of what I thought this would look like. I wanted somebody to make me call them, to tell me what to do. I didn't get any of that. I had to, when are we going to do these steps? When are we going to do these steps? When are we going to do these steps? She takes me through the steps. We get to the third step. And we do the third step prayer. And I just kind of look at her like, and all she said to me was, it just means you're willing to continue through these steps. I exhaled, my shoulders went down, and I was okay. And with that, I'll stop.
All right. Thank you both. We're going to continue the readings on page 46. Nope, 45. Yeah. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live. And it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Turning over to page 46 now, much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Paul?
Yeah, man. A power greater than ourselves. I never had a problem with the God situation. Like, I didn't come in here a militant atheist or anything. I didn't really care because God was for you guys. Great. I'll handle this. He'll help you. We're set. Like, I'll just keep on trucking. Right. And it was brought to my attention. This part of, you know, I joke with my guys, but I'm like, hey, this is italicized. It must be important. So we need a power greater than ourselves. Right. And it was really confusing, man, because I didn't have a problem with God, but I didn't really see how we fit into this, and I didn't really care. So that really did stump me. And I thought that what you guys were saying was, hey, man, you got to know God before you can get on with this business of getting sober in AA. And that was really confusing to me because, like, I kind of believed, but I didn't really have that, like, that belief that I could hold on to, right? I didn't have the faith. And I went to classes, dude. I went to classes that were Christian and science, not Christian science, don't get me wrong, but that were like, they were science-based Christian courses, right? I really went for the French press coffee because I knew a guy there. But anyway, we would sit there and they would talk about the science of God. They would say, hey, did you know that if the earth was tilted a half a degree on its axis, life couldn't exist? It just couldn't exist. Mm. Something's got to be out there making these things possible, right? And I still couldn't buy it. I was like, I just don't buy it, dude. I just don't buy it. I'm sorry. I just don't get it. And it really frustrated me because I really desperately wanted to believe. Like, I wanted to believe in something, but I just couldn't. And until I asked that guy to sponsor me. And that guy said to me, he's like, hey, man, how many are you? I was like, I don't understand the question. He's like, how many are you? And I was like, oh, I'm one. He's like, right. Did you know that there are millions and millions and millions of people sober in AA? I was like, that's a good number. He's like, right. He's like, so when we're talking about a higher power, which one's the higher power, Paul? Is it you handling your business on your own? Or is it the millions and millions and millions of people that have gotten sober doing the steps of AA? And I was like, oh, I see what you did there. This is good. I was like, all right, I went to art school, but I know how the alligator mouth falls on this. Right? You're like, it's AA. And so you got to do the alligator math, man. That's the only one I know. So anyways, I the higher power was AA for me at first, right? And that was good enough until it wasn't good enough, right? Like that got me sober and helped me stay sober for quite a long time. But I never stepped outside of that for gosh, man, almost like 9 years. I didn't step outside of that belief that AA was my higher power until life put me in enough pain that I was willing to expand my mind. And that happened when something at work happened, almost lost my career. A lot of my identity was wrapped up in my career. I happened to be very shady in that career, even in sobriety, because I wanted to get ahead. If you had asked me, I'd been like, well, I need to make more money for my family. I got kids. They need stuff. I need to kind of cheat the system a little bit here and there so I can get raises and get this bonus. It's no big deal. Nobody cares. And anyways, that mentality came around to shred me. And I was having meetings with directors and RVPs of my office asking me very honest questions. And I had to answer them honestly, like, I'm a creep and a cheat, and I don't really know what to tell you, but you like me. So what are we going to do here? So anyways, I almost lost my job and I couldn't sleep and I couldn't shake that fear that I was living with. I was full of fear. I was full of anxiety and I couldn't shake it. And one night I couldn't go to sleep. And my sponsor had said, hey, why don't you try praying when you're in those tight spots? Why don't you just try? Because he knew that the spiritual part wasn't a big deal for me. I hadn't made that leap yet. And I was crying. I was in bed crying because I couldn't go to sleep. And I was just so full of fear, dude. I rolled out of bed and I hit my knees. And I just said very earnestly, I was like, please, please take this fear from me. And please just use me to do whatever. Just please use me. I'm so scared right now. I'll be damned if I didn't fall right asleep. And that was the craziest thing. And I called my sponsor so excited the next morning. I was like, hey, man, it worked. And he's like, yeah, dude, that's why I've been telling you that for the past 10 years. And he goes, hey, look, I want to make this really clear to you. Like, this is a relationship that you're building. It takes two. God's always there. You just need to try. And that was a really big moment for me. That was the moment where I stepped out of AA is my higher power, the alligator mouth. And I went to a place of, I'm just going to show up and be present and try to, you know, to be a source of outgoing love in this world and just try to act like there is a God and I'm not it. So that's what I got for that one.
Thanks.
Yep.
Oh, let's see. Well, for me, like I said, she said exactly what I needed to hear for my third step. I soon got another sponsor, because she no longer felt she was an alcoholic, and, basically had the same experience. You know, I was told to pray on my knees. I think I was, this is a while back, so I don't read the 11th step, you know, eventually. Sitting on the couch, reading the 11th step, reading it out loud so I could comprehend it. Then it just came to be reading words that I was doing to get done and get over so I could get on to my busy life, probably crushing candies. When I look back now, I mean, my life did get better because I had you find people, you people that I didn't want to join, but I never really could wrap my head around the spiritual part. I didn't know how it worked. I like to overthink things. I'm sure you can all relate. Overcomplicate things. Nobody could explain. I remember my next sponsor, she might have been my third, telling me, well, who, you know, God got you sober. I'm like, no, I got me sober. And I said, but God may have opened the door, but I did have to do this work. For 7 years, I had no higher power, no God, no nothing. I had you. Mm-hmm. I did service. I was run by fear. I said, no, I wouldn't speak. Doing this right now was not going to happen ever. I didn't speak in meetings. I still really don't speak in meetings. I had my friends. then my friends started to move. And I knew I needed to do something different. I was going to try to acclimate with other people. And I stood at my home group at the time, looking around after the meeting. And I didn't feel like I fit in. It's I wasn't comparing myself out. I always knew I was an alcoholic. I never questioned that. But I didn't feel like I fit in. I didn't try very hard. I will put it that way. I was in a new relationship. And I decided to take the easier, softer way. And I stepped away from AA to see what life was like. And so that's what I did for 4 years. To be continued. I'll stop there.
All right. Thank you both. That's pretty titillating.
I know.
Cliffhanger.
Ooh. What a great word. Ridiculous word that is.
All right. Page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. We're going to skip back to page 568, the second appendix.
Let's go.
Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. Paul.
We're not going to read the last one?
No.
Do we read that later?
You can.
Yeah, we're going to read more.
Oh, of the spiritual experience?
No.
Oh. All right. Fair enough. I'm going to read the rest of that because it's real damn important. I'm so sorry. All right. So we find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willing, this is italicized. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. Guys, what? That's it right there. I love this. I'm so glad that you went to the spiritual experience. All right, so look, let me hippity hop back through here. Am I willing to believe, dude? At first, no. And then when it was like proven to me, when I actually tried. Because I'm that guy, like, somebody says to pray on their knees, and I'm like, mm-mm. I'll just sit on this ottoman at the foot of my bed. Like, it's below the bed, so it's kind of lower. But, like, I'm just not, like, there's just, I'm just like this obstinate child for no reason. I don't know why. But nobody's an agnostic to their own pain, right? And so when I was in enough pain, my ass hit my knees, and I got relief. And that was the door that cracked open. That I'm really just glad that it did, man, because I feel like I could have stayed sober a very long time on you guys being my higher power. I feel like I could have done that. I did it. And then I got to this place where I was like, meh, is this it? Like, is this it? And I remember saying that to a bunch of people. I was like, guys, is this it? Like, I'm sponsoring people. I'm going to meetings, making the phone calls. I'm kind of saying the prayers ish. Like, I'm doing things. Is this it? Because I feel like really hollow. I just had this very hollow feeling on the inside. And there were people in the program that were very full of life and happiness and joy. And they were long-term sober. And it pissed me off because I couldn't understand like what was going on. And I'm really glad that I almost lost my job and felt like I was going to die in the middle of AA, because it made me willing to try something different. And that something different was to try and grow spiritually. And I didn't know this. It says it 11,000 times in the book, but I did not know that the point of this thing was to grow spiritually and to help other people find that through the steps, because I just thought we were here to not drink and be nice to each other. But there is so much more to this, man. So that feeling of going of meh, was completely erased. And I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to oversell this, I got a new lease on my effing life, dude. The way that I feel, I got to tell you guys, man, like, the past 7 months have been a raging country music dumpster fire in my life. It's been horrible, dude. But I'm going to tell you this right now. There's not a day that's gone by that I haven't prayed, that I haven't done meditation, that I haven't called guys and been honest with them, you know, willing, honest, open-mindedness, right? These are the essentials of recovery. I haven't thought about a drink, not even a damn single time. And what I've thought of is, how can I bring kindness, tolerance, patience, and love to this situation? Who's that? I would have just burned this thing to the ground and just like walked away from it laughing. So the point of this is, I just really undersold myself on this spiritual piece of this program, the prayer, the meditation, living the principles behind each step in my life. You know, it says that in step 12, live these principles in all my affairs. They're talking about the principles associated with the steps. Those also happen to be the opposite of my character defects. So I should just do those because that's probably God's will. Like Tom and I were talking about this just on Sunday. When I show up to the world and I am a source of outgoing love, I live these principles in my life, and I give my problems up to prayer and meditation and to you guys, I got no problems, dude. Like, stuff can suck. Okay. I just have this, I'm just not afraid anymore. I can walk into any situation and not be afraid. And that's saying a lot for a guy that was afraid of literally everything. You guys should have seen my fear inventory. It was multiple pages. Snakes were in there 3 times. That's how much I'm afraid of snakes. That inventory was so long, dude. And now I can honestly tell you that no matter what, I'm going to be okay. And no matter what, I'm going to pray. And no matter what, I'm going to tell you guys about it. I'm going to be willing to do whatever the hell it takes to stay sober and help other people, because that's where the juice is for me. And man, who knew? Who knew? I thought we were just not drinking. All right, that's what I got.
I ended up getting married. We were together for 5.5 years. That blew up. And I can honestly say it wasn't because I was an untreated alcoholic. I am not powerful enough to make him who he is and do what he did. I'm responsible for my part. Maybe had I been a treated alcoholic, I wouldn't have gotten married. I can't answer those questions. But when things started to get bad, I did think of you fine people. I didn't know what you were going to do for me, but I knew it couldn't hurt. So I came back here. Just, you know, this is a standing joke, what I call my M&M face, round the outside.
Oh, man. That's good.
Just dipping my toes in the water. Things got worse at home. I did have a sponsor. Who was going through some stuff, was questioning and interviewing people on that went out to see what their life was like, because she was questioning whether she was going to stay in. I went through a few sponsors, then the pandemic happened. So now I'm newly separated, alone, full of fear, and don't have anything. I did stay sober through all of that. Things open back up, still kind of just skirting, going to meetings with a friend, still not really doing it, then knowing I needed to do something. So I did. I finally got a home group, started. It's like starting all over again, home group and a sponsor. The thing that sucks is, even though I only did this for 7 years, I still had, I don't know, 12 years sober. So I did have some experience and a little bit of knowledge. And it's tough to find a sponsor. Well, it was for me anyway. That's my experience. That sponsor didn't work out. Then I asked a friend. She's in her complacency phase. That didn't really work out. And I got into another relationship. So, of course, that gave me my ease and comfort, which I later found that I'm codependent. And as long as I was in these relationships, I had ease and comfort. It's like another addiction. But I don't, you know, I don't have to change my sobriety date for it. I got into another relationship. That didn't work out. When I ended that and decided I have to stop doing this, I can't keep getting in relationships, making the same mistakes. I've got to do something different. I got into enough pain because I took away my ease and comfort. I didn't know it at the time. But shit got crazy. And I asked somebody new to be my sponsor. And that's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Hi, Ebony. She is armed with the facts about herself. She didn't tell me to do anything that I hadn't heard before. Things that were so simple. Why don't you try calling people? I'm like, they don't want to hear my stuff. They've been hearing it the whole time. No, why don't you call and ask them about them? Oh, that's a new concept. Not talk about myself. Simple things like that. Picking up the phone and calling people. I still suck at that. And I realize admitting that I suck about it is good, but I need to take the action so I don't continue to suck at it. I can't just keep admitting the problem without doing the work. I was willing to do, like Paul said, I was in pain. Mm-hmm. I was batshit crazy, in pain, willing to do whatever it took. A friend asked me to go with her to, what is it called, Jaywalkers. And I did the third step, which was kind of where I was at. I almost had an anxiety attack getting up in front of those people. I don't care if it had been five people, it would have been the same anxiety attack. And I almost didn't do it. And then I realized if I didn't do that, that I was never going to let myself live that down. And Lynette was with us. She was kind enough to go first. And when I saw her up there, I'm like, I could do this. And that's how my spiritual journey is done. I'm slowly pushing past my fears to get to something different. Because if I stay in fear, I'm never going, and I don't walk through it, I'm never going to grow. She didn't ask me to get on my knees and pray, but I do. I will be honest, I don't do it every day because Jill Will takes over and I find other things, you know, some kind of video game that's a little more important. So it's not daily, but I do this at least, you know, four or five times a week. I pray, I send people the daily reflection and the thought of the day. I meditate. Sometimes I listen to something, sometimes I don't. I get on my knees, 11, 3, and 7. Oh, and the St. Francis prayer. That's what my journeys look like. And eventually, I started to believe. It's not that I was kind of atheist. I was agnostic, and then I turned to atheist. And now it's because I don't like the religious church kind of God. That's not for me. It's a conception that I want, that I believe in. And so I started that journey this year. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Jill.
We're going to pick up the reading on page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
Oh. Yeah, man. I have this little note. It's just like that we are having trouble all the way down to the people with like the really long situation. I don't even know what you would call that. What's that? Doesn't matter. Anyways, I have that bracketed as unmanageability, right? And I have proven to myself time and time and time and time again that when Paul Jeffries runs the show, it sucks. The thing, though, is that when you ask me how I'm doing, it's great. I'm doing a great job. Everything's fine. On the inside, I'm full of fear, anger, resentment. I don't know what's going on. I'm terrified, but I just keep plowing ahead like I know what the hell I'm doing. And I have just run myself into the ground enough times that I've become humbled to the fact that I just really suck at running my life. It's really bad. I'm not good at it. And I give up. And I think that's the craziest thing. I think that Amy, you said this before. You're like, I didn't do anything great in AA. I just surrendered. Like, I just gave up. And that giving up of self-will and of trying to run the show or thinking that I know better. Guys, I had this thought like a couple years ago. I was like, I might be wrong. That was friggin' huge, dude. I might be wrong. There are situations that pop up in my life and I'm ready to fight about it. And I go, maybe I'm not right. That's a big deal for me, man. And I think that just comes from a constant beating down of myself through trying to snatch the show back. I am so happy to just give it up now. And I'm not a jellyfish, right? Like, it used to really bother me when people are like, oh, you should let go and let God. And it's like, well, I don't want to just like float around through the world. Like, I'm a human being, dude. I got desires and goals and stuff. Like, I want to get shit done. And my sponsor was like, right, do that. Like, you can have goals and aspirations in these things. So what do you do with that? He's like, well, what that looks like is you plan that out. What do you want? If you have a goal, great, work towards that. What you get out of is you get out of the results business. You get into putting in the footwork, but you get out of the results business. He's like, the problem is that you're trying to manage the results. That's where you get angry, fearful, scared, like sad. Like, that's where all the expectation is that sets yourself up for all this disappointment. He's like, why don't you try this? Why don't you just pray to be open and honest and loving and kind and patient? Do those things in your life, work towards those goals, and maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. That's not the point. The point is that when you try to just wrangle life like this, and you're living in this 1-inch square in the middle of your forehead, you're effing miserable, right? And I was like, yeah, dude, like every time. And I did want to touch on something before that we read, but I didn't say anything about. And I want to just kind of come back to that, this conception of God. Like, please don't be afraid of the religious part of this, right? Like, we're not saying you have to believe in a religion or you have to believe in a God. It's not that, man. AA is really cool about this, where it says it can literally be anything you want it to be. I was talking with a sponsee the other day and he's like, yeah, well, you know, I think my conception of my God is just, he's just really vengeful and he's angry and he's really like just upset generally. I was like, that guy sucks. Why do you want that? Like, why do you want that? That higher power sounds like a dick. Like, what? That guy sucks. And I was like, why don't we just change that up? You know, if you're having problems with this spiritual peace and that's what you're thinking about, think about something else. It can really be that easy. And we talked about that. And I was like, you know, for me, it's not a person or a thing or whatever. I'm not a religious person, but I am a spiritual person. And for me, my concept of a higher power is outgoing love. Cause I can get with that, dude. I can give that to other people. I can receive that from other people. That is something that's bigger than me, that is universal, that everybody wants, needs, and appreciates. So I'm cool with that. So why don't we just start there? And maybe you can just build from that, because we get so beat. You know, like every time there's a step two or three meeting, somebody's like, I was raised Baptist. And we're like, ah, we're not talking about that, man. I promise it's not. You don't have to believe anything about that stuff. Please don't let that be a barrier to you getting sober and living a better life. Because I've just seen that so much. It doesn't have to be difficult. It really can be simple. All right. That's what I got. Soapbox done.
No, I like your soapbox. Shortens mine. Well, like I said, I got with Ebony and started this journey. I think it was January of this year, willing to say yes, because I was a no person my first 7 years. Mm-hmm. I said no a lot. Hell no. The other aspect to this is doing my seventh step, which to me helps with the God thing. If you don't know what your character defects are, how can you ask to remove them, or how can you even change them? I'm starting to find out what those are. I'm starting to recognize that I can fix David way better. If he just did the things I thought, he'd be perfect, because it's so much easier to focus on him or you than it is to look at myself. I still do that. But the thing is now that the difference is now, God talks to me and redirects my focus on me and my character defects. And I do pray. to have them removed. I do ask for his help. And it's funny because I don't like sharing. I'm a huge introvert. And like I said, I send a daily reflection and the Betty Ford thought of the day to a few friends. And today was the day that I was going to share with all you fine people. And this is what the thought of the day was. What makes an effective talk in an AA meeting is not a fine speech with fine choice of words and an impression delivery. Often a few simple words direct from the heart are more effective than the most polished speech. There is always a temptation to speak beyond your own experience in order to make a good impression. This is never effective. What does not come from the heart does not reach the heart. What comes from personal experience and a sincere desire to help the other person reaches the heart. Do I speak for effect or with a deep desire to help? To me, that was God talking to me, telling me what to do. Not like I'm going to have a run-on chair, but that eased me for the day and I could get her on with my day and not be all up in my head about what I'm going to say to you fine people. And that's what I got.
All right. We're going to continue on page 53,
I'm done. 55. I'm done.
Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you.
Well, hell yeah. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting, man. It's very hard for me to, it's very hard for me to deny that I have seen something working in the lives of you people since day one when I came in here. I'm talking like, I've seen people go through some of the most ridiculous, insanely hurtful, like just gut-wrenching stuff in this program. They haven't drank. They've been honest with each other about it. I've had conversations with them. Like I've heard some of the worst stuff ever. And people are like, but you know, I think that it's going to be okay. You stay sober long enough, you start seeing those things. That comes true. They are okay. You know, you get a horrible divorce, you end up with somebody who you were supposed to be with the whole time and your life is better. You know, you lose a job, you struggle through that, and these things all just happen to be happening to me at the moment, but you lose a job and then something opens up right in front of you. And you're full of fear, but you pray through it and you're honest about it with other people. And you're like, man, God, I don't know what your plan is. And I really hate your timing at the moment. It's a little slow, but I do know that you're there and I know it's going to be okay. And then eventually a job pops up out of nowhere and you're like, I love this. This is exactly what I want to do. I'm so glad that happened. I've seen so many people think that their life was like over just to, you know, granted, those people stuck in AA. They did the steps, they helped other people, they prayed, they meditated, they made those phone calls. They're doing the shit. We, you know, if you're doing the thing, happens, man, and I've seen it over and over and over again. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in you guys' lives. I can't deny it. I can't deny it. And so, you know, when I'm able to grow that relationship and tap into that faith, the weirdest thing happens, dude. I'm telling you, that fear just melts away. That is a very strange feeling to have fear melt away. But I really want to hit on that concept of honesty. I mean, even, you know, it would be really easy for me to be like, you know, I'm God's sunbeam and I just feel so full of the spirit and everything's great. I called my sponsor last night at 10 o'clock crying, dude, because I was so overwhelmed with stuff, right? It's not that it gets easier, but it's a great segue because I wanted to bring this up. The principle behind this step is hope, right? And so what, you know, this spiritual situation that I've grown into through working these steps, all of the steps, and getting into enough pain and just giving up, has given me hope that no matter what, it's going to be okay. Yeah. Might not be better, might not be worse. Doesn't matter, but it is going to be okay. And I will not drink, and I will have a smile on my face, and I will enjoy my effing life regardless, because that's what I'm here for. I didn't get here to be that guy in the room that's like, oh, I'm sober 30 years. Damn it. Like, I don't want that, dude. I want to be full of life. I want to be full of joy. I want to give this thing away freely. And I want to climb mountains and fucking smell the breeze, dude. I just want to be full of life, and I can't do that on my own because I'm so preoccupied with myself. I need you guys, and I need God in my life, dude. And it's just that simple. And when I have that, I'm free. I didn't know that's what I wanted the whole time, but here we are.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep.
Like I said, when I started, I was agnostic, and I didn't believe in a vengeful God. I have low self-esteem, or I did have low self-esteem. And that, why is he going to help me? I'm just this person, this hairdresser in Norfolk, Virginia. I mean, there's all this poverty and famine. And why is he going to hear me? To not believing there was anything at all. To getting in enough pain and willing to believe. And I do believe. And like Paul said, I have more good days than I have bad. I've learned what humble feels like. And I wish I could feel humble every day. But Jill Will does like to pop her, rear her ugly head and see what's going on out there. But it doesn't take me long to get back. And that's progress. Am I ever going to do this perfectly? Probably not. But as long as I can remember these principles, I can always get myself back here. As long as I don't take charge. And with that, I'm done.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Who's got a tight five on step two? I've got a chair. David, do you want to come give us 5 minutes on step two?
Okay.
You can do it.
I like Amy's tight five better.
Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name's David.
David.
Hi, David. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be sober tonight. Thank you both so much.
You did
it. You've known me since day one.
Yeah, I heard so many good things tonight, and I'm kind of in the middle of my own little experience as well. I remember struggling with step two. I remember walking around thinking, how can I come to believe something that I do not believe in? You know, and I really kind of wanted to do the math on that, you know, because I like to figure things out and sort it out. It doesn't bother me that I'm a crazy person, yet I demand that everything makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something fundamentally unmanageable about that. But that line that was read tonight, we had to ask ourselves just one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? And then it says, if a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him he's on his way. Step two, done and over. Let's get on with it, right? Well, that's too simple for me. You know, I thought for a long time I had to figure out the nature of God. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I have to say about step two is I couldn't even approach or entertain the idea that something greater than me could restore me to sanity until I became absolutely convinced that whatever I had, I could not budge. I could not treat my alcoholism. I tried treating it by drinking. I tried treating it by not drinking, which makes perfect logical sense. And then I get to experience all the things that are described on 52, stone cold sober, having trouble with personal relationships, prey to misery and depression, can't seem to make a living, feelings of uselessness, self-pity, despair. I'm not going to drink, but I'm sort of Googling how to commit suicide. You know, like, I don't want to drink, but I don't want to be here anymore. Mm-hmm. What do you got? So So that idea that all I had to do was be willing. And I remember the old man just saying to me, David, could you move it from a, could you move it from a no to a maybe? And I couldn't even admit that in front of him, you know, but I'd be like at a traffic light, you know, by myself. Oh, maybe. Maybe I don't know everything. And I began to do the things that were already talked about. You know, I was like, hey, sponsor man, like I can believe whatever I want about God, right? Check. That's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you want. It's like, well, if I did believe in God, the God I believed in wouldn't care if I got on my knees. How you like that? Mm-hmm. And sponsor man was like, that's very interesting, David. Why don't you just do it anyway? Like, you know, is there someone intelligent I can talk to around? So I just started doing the things, and like Jill talked about, I just started praying on my knees, and they started like legal briefs. God, if you're there, of course you know you're there, and I feel a little silly. And if you're not there, I'm just talking to the wall. You know, I mean, I would, but I did that. That was the best I could do, and I did those things, and I'll share this and sit down. But one of the things that has absolutely never failed, and it's so simple, but the old man said to me, David, AA is going to ask some stuff of you. I want you to cultivate a habit of saying yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We already know you don't want to do it. And I don't. I don't want to do it. I was just talking to somebody about that. Like, I don't want to do anything. Except go back to bed, you know, and then when I'm there I want to do something. But I started just saying yes to Alcoholics Anonymous, and that puts me going to meetings I didn't plan on going. Mm-hmm. It puts me in front of people I didn't plan on meeting. Something happens when I'm in motion around you people that whatever God is, I believe, works with. Mm-hmm. And he can't get to me binge watching something on there. You know, I'm not going to slap the remote out of my hand. But when I come here and do this with you, a path that really goes somewhere opens up in front of me. Mm. So, yeah, man, I've been having it. I know I keep threatening to shut up. Recently recommitted to doing a daily 10 step with another alcoholic. We have a set time and we committed to having a written inventory that we would read to each other every day at a certain time. Just doing that inventory and confession and hearing his, what is revealed to me, what has become completely obvious, take the fears aside, the money, the health, the relationship, all the stuff that I'm writing about, the resentments, the ill treatment, the I can't believe that dude did that, you know, all that funnels down to, I am very self-reliant. Mm. I remain defiant and I remain willing to run my own show and I keep running it into the ground. And what would God reliance look like? And just that simple discipline of looking at that, I believe that God would have me secure in the knowledge of his care and protection. I believe God would have me be a source of outgoing kindness and love and comfort to other people. I believe that God would have me review my life to this point and realize that I've been taken care of the whole way.
Yes, dude.
What am I worried about? So I'm here to help. Thanks. Yeah.
This concludes the sharing portion of our meeting. We're going to pass the baskets in accordance with the seventh tradition. The seventh tradition states, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA announcements? Liz, thank you very much. Anybody else? Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. If you're a little bit shy, please feel free to email us at info@simpleactions.net. Someone will get back to you. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Cafe Stella. In closing, can we please thank Paul and Jill?
No, you did it.
Oh, and David.
Yeah, a little smidge of David.
Thanks to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to come up and thank the speakers in person. Jason has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page
160. Our book is meant to do it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and come. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right, we have a nice way of closing.
Yeah, we do.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.